I invite you tonight to take your Bible with me and open to the book of Ruth and the second chapter, Ruth chapter 2, this evening. Seeing that Friday is Valentine's Day, I think it's appropriate that we tonight consider the theme of love. There is perhaps no sweeter story of love found within our Bibles than the one found here in Ruth chapter 2 as we consider the love of Boaz and Ruth. So tonight we're going to look at some principles of love from the example of Boaz and his love towards the one who would one day become his wife, Ruth. Before we though look at that passage together, would you bow with me please in a word of prayer? Father, we do thank you tonight for this opportunity to be able to come and gather together. We thank you, Lord, for the chance to be able to look into your word, to study, Lord, even to consider such practical thoughts as love within our homes, within the family, within our lives, one toward another. And Father, I pray that you would teach us even now this night. We'll thank you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We are familiar with the story of Ruth. We realize that in chapter 1, we are introduced to a family, Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, and their two sons who traveled down to Moab. All of the men died, and all that was left was Naomi and her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah. Ruth decided that she would come back with Naomi to the land of Israel. And as we come to chapter 2, we're introduced now to yet another character of this story, and that is Boaz. It says there in verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn, after him whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant And that was said over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not and glean in another field, neither go from hence, and abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art at thirst, go unto the vessels and drink, and at which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself on the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and thy land of thy nativity, and art come into the people, which thou knowest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy reward in full, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto mine handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaids. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel into the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her, parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field unto even, and beat out that she had gleaned. It was about an ephah of barley. So we come to Ruth chapter 2 tonight. We find again the love of Boaz for the one despised by so many others. His love for her is clearly seen, and his love for her is a reminder of us of the very love of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Here in Ruth 2, I want to discover three simple thoughts or truths concerning the love of Boaz for Ruth. And this love, with these characteristics, ought to be seen in our love one for another, within our homes, within the church. First of all, I want you to notice with me concerning love's Boaz that he, first of all, adored her. When we consider his love for this one who is a stranger, this one who is a Moabitess woman, this one who is not of his own household or his own lineage, in the sense that she was not a Jew, she was a stranger from a foreign land. Yet the Bible says that he adored her. His love for her is obvious, for he, out of his own free will, chose to love this stranger for Moab. Again, as I think about that thought, I'm reminded again of the love of our Savior. I can't help but think of Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There were not many in the land of Israel who cared much for this Moabitess woman. But Boaz adored her. He chose to love her out of his own free will. How do we know that? I want you to take note of a couple things with me that speaks to the fact that he adored and loved her. First of all, his love took notice of Ruth when others did not. Look at verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? In verse 5, we come to find out that Boaz had come to check on the progress in his fields. He was a powerful man, one known within the gates of the city. He was one that folks would come and would recognize. And he has come back now to his fields to check to see how things are going in harvest. And as he comes, he takes note of one who is a stranger. Who is this damsel? He took notice of her when others did not. Here's a man of great wealth and influence, condescending himself to notice a stranger like Ruth. I wonder how many other people took note of her. I wonder how many people ever noticed or inquired after her while she was there in Israel. Now remember, Naomi had come back. Ruth is now asking to go glean in the fields. Why is she asking that? What does it mean when you are gleaning in the fields after the reapers? What state are you in? Good, prosperous, or in great need? You're in poverty. You're in great need. So what I realize is this. There is no one looking after Naomi. There is no one looking after Ruth. No one's even taking note. But Boaz does. He takes notice of her when others did not. We who are the beneficiaries of the love of God, a love that noticed us, the love of God who knows the very hairs upon our head, the love of God which knows us our rising up and our sitting down, we who are the beneficiaries of such love, I wonder how often we take note of others around us. How often can we go throughout a day and never notice those around us in need? Our love should cause us to look beyond ourselves, our needs, our wants, our wishes, to take note of what's going on around us. Boaz adored her, he loved her, and it is seen clearly in that he took notice of her. Well, no one else did. But I also find that he took knowledge of her while others forgot her. His love took knowledge of her when others forgot her. In Ruth 1, verse 19, when Naomi and Ruth had entered into the Bethlehem, the whole city was moved. Yet none took time to care for them. None took time to come to know Ruth. Again, she is gleaning now within the fields, but Boaz takes notice of her, and he sought to know her. He wants to know, who is this one that is in his field? And he doesn't just ask the servant over all the other servants. He actually goes and speaks unto her. He actually takes knowledge and learns of her. He asks about her, and it's quite possible that he had already sought some information on her and Naomi. Look down at verse 11. And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and are come unto the people which thou knowest not heretofore. He had taken knowledge of her. He loved her. He showed the love of Christ in his life. The rest of Bethlehem was seeking their own. They were concerned about their harvest. They were caring for their interest, while Boaz was seeking the one he loved. You know, folks, we live in a world today that is only interested in what benefits them. But you and I who know the Lord, should we not be seeking the good of those around us in love? The world's only willing to get involved if there's a benefit for them. The world's only going to get involved if they profit from something. They're not going to invest their life. They're not going to serve. They're not going to take knowledge or care. But our God did. Boaz really represents for us the love of God. And he took knowledge of her while everyone else was seeking their own. I want you to notice with me next, though, not only did he adore her, but then he goes on to assure her. As we continue to discover the love of Boaz, we find that he assures her. He wants to reassure her of that love and his care and concern, and that she understands the grace at which he is going to offer. Notice with me what it says, verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. He assures her, first of all, of his grace. Although she was a stranger in the promised land, Ruth was promised that she would be given a place, and she'd be given a harvest. She had no rights in and of herself, but in grace he would provide for her. Sound familiar? Does that not sound like the love of God? Does it not sound like the love of Ephesians 2 and verse 8? For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We who are sinners, lost and bound for hell, God assures us that he'll save us by his grace. How can we then not show grace to those who are undeserving? This is a time where we focus on the thought of love. All who have loved have been hurt. When you seek to show love toward other people, the reality is there will come times in your life that you're going to experience hurt. The only way to avoid hurt is to avoid people and not desire that love or that companionship with others. But those who have sought to show the love of Christ have experienced times of hurt. And it's not easy to deal with, but folks, we must continually strive to show grace to others. They may not be in our minds deserving of our love or deserving of any grace or any pity or kindness, but neither were you. Neither was Ruth. She had no place in the fields. She had no claim to any of the harvest. She had no claim to any land there. She wasn't of Jewish lineage. She was a Moabite. But Boaz says, I'll give you a place. You stay here. And I'll give you a harvest. You glean amongst my maidens. As we read later on in the passage, he is willing to say, listen, make sure you drop some handfuls of purpose just for her. He assures her of his grace. He assures her of his protection. Look at verse 9. Let not thy eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessel and drink of that which the young men have drawn. He says to her that no harm would come to her. He had promised her protection. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us that all who come to him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ are told that instead there is a lake of fire. But folks, the reality is Boaz said very clearly to her, you stay in my field. I'll provide for you. I'll protect you. He assures her as her redeemer, there would be no harm. He also tells her there is nothing that would be withheld from her. If she's thirsty, come and drink. The Lord Jesus promised that if we thirst, we can come and drink of him the living water that never thirsts again. The Lord Jesus also said that we can come. There's a table set before us. In verse 14, Boaz said to her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. He offers to her a banqueting feast. Psalm 23 says, thou preparest a table before me, even in the presence of mine enemies. God would have us to love in such the same way. But then he assures her of this, that God would reward her. Because of the choice that she made, coming with her mother-in-law to care for her, leaving behind all that she knew, verse 12 says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. He assures her of God's reward for her. Think about the love that we can show to others for a moment. What greater love can you show to the lost but then to share with them the promise of the gospel, which if men will believe, they will find God's reward? What greater blessing, what greater love can you show but then to share with them the truth of the gospel, that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that there's a home in heaven waiting for them? What greater love can you show to your brothers and sisters in Christ than to remind them of the truth of the rewards that are found for them in heaven for those who faithfully serve our God? We ought to have words of assurance of the wonderful blessings of the Lord. The final thing I want you to note, though, about his love for her is that he accommodated her. He accommodated her. As her redeemer, he seeks to aid and to accommodate her in need. He wanted to provide for all of Ruth's needs. Number one, he accommodates her daily need. Ruth has labored. She has toiled all morning, simply that she might be able to provide for her mother-in-law. No doubt, she is tired, she is hungry. Again, in verse 14, he calls her to sit at his table. He provides for her rest and refreshment. He accommodates her daily need. He gives to her the necessary food to sustain her and to keep her for the rest of the day. He does so because of his good pleasure, and he does so out of his bounty. He's not obligated, folks, to call her to his table. He does so out of the goodwill of his pleasure to provide and meet her needs. He does so out of his bounty that he has. He has more than enough to be able to meet her needs. Again, folks, doesn't it sound much like our God and his love for us? Don't we have the ability to do the same? Do we not, out of our own free will, have the ability to love those who just so many others seem to be unlovely? Do we really not have the means to be able to help supply and help them in a time of need? Our God provides for our daily needs. He gives to us our daily bread. He gives to his beloved sleep. Through his word, we are granted the necessary food to sustain us in our labors and toils. And that which is entrusted to us, we ought to be so willing to give unto others. But he also accommodates her future well-being. Notice again, he instructs his servants to provide extra by allowing her to glean beyond the normal provisions. There was a space that they were allowed. There was space that the strangers were not to come into. That belonged unto the owner. He said, let her come in. Even amongst my harvest, let her come and glean amongst the sheaves. He provided for all of her needs. He wanted her to have all that she could, so that all of her needs will be met in the days to come as well. Again, folks, that's a deliberate choice. He sought to supply because of love, not because he was obligated, but of his own free will, he loved her. And here's what we find. He accommodates her in abundance. When the day is done, verse 17 says, she beat out an ephah of barley. You say, is that significant? One ephah of barley beaten out so that they could use would be the equivalent of 22 liters of grain. More than enough to supply for their needs today and weeks to come. Some suggest at minimum a 10-day supply. She was able to gather in one day. And again, I'll remind you, how did she get such abundance? Leave handfuls of purpose for her. He supplied in abundance. I can't help but think of Ephesians 3 and verse 20. I can't think of but a Philippians chapter 4. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. That he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He supplies with us abundantly. I can't help but think of, again, Psalm 23, where he prepares a table before us. Surely goodness and mercy follow us. Our cup runneth over. When you look at the love of Boaz for Ruth, you can't help but see the love of God for us. And when you see the love of God for us, when you consider it, I think we have to certainly understand that we are to love others as he has loved us. Boaz gives to us a wonderful picture of what our love ought to look like. Men, it's a picture of what our love ought to look like for our wives. It's a picture of what our love ought to look like for the children that God has given to us. Ladies, it's a picture of the very same thing for you. But those of us within the Church of Jesus Christ, it's also a picture of how we ought to love one another and how we ought to love those who are lost around us. Our world today talks a lot about love. The church today talks a lot about love. But yet, the true love of God, in too many places, is missing. In too many lives, it is vacant. God wants us to love as He loved us. We have a beautiful picture of what true love looks like through Boaz and Ruth. I don't think there's a more beautiful book written in your Old Testament about that theme than this one. The only other story in my mind that really compares is the story of Isaac and Rebekah and the way he loved her and how God led providentially for him. Boaz found the one that he would love because his eyes were open and looking to the needs, and he inquired of her. He took knowledge of her. He initiated her redemption. Folks, God initiated it with you and me. You know what He wants us to do? He wants us to be initiators of love. Not just sit around and wait for others to love us, or demand it or expect it, but to initiate that love to those who have need. We will have opportunity in the days ahead to demonstrate and show that love. It goes far beyond flowers and chocolates and cards and expressions. It comes through a way of life. And let us learn to love one another as Christ loved us. We see a wonderful example through Boaz and Ruth. Pray with me, please, as we close.